Hi, this is Huggy Boy. This is going out to all the homies on a Sunday afternoon.
This is how we do it.
You wanted to never rush your money.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hops and Notes for episode 20. It's my birthday. This is a special release. I'm doing this one solo. Before we get into the music, let's crack a beer open. I hope you can crack one open with me for my birthday. Yeah, it's a bottle, y'all. This one's from Bottle Logic Brewing in Anaheim, California. If you hear any noise in the background, that is my dog being a menace. So what we're drinking today is the 2023 release of Gem the Radar. It's a raspberry stout. It's an imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels, then finished with cacao nibs and raspberries. We're looking at, give me a second here. They got a fun label on here, so I'm looking for ye old stats. All right, Jesus Christ. This is 13.5%. And it's pretty thick. They got a visco meter. It's a 6.5 out of 10. All right. So like I said, it's kind of a thick boy, if you will. Cheers, everybody. I hope you can drink something with me. Ooh. Oh, man. The raspberry is very strong in this. Wow. So literally, it's obviously very dark. You can tell it's very thick just looking at this thing. It smells the way it tastes. It's so much raspberry. Wow. I can see people, I mean, I wouldn't agree with them, but I can see why people wouldn't dig this because it's very strong, and I can see somebody saying it tastes like medicine or something. They're wrong, but, you know, whatever. On this label, they have food pairings with it. They recommend grilled Wenster, a Monte Cristo sandwich, or a banana bacon cupcakes. Wow. Yeah, man. Out of 5 bottle caps, I'll give it a solid 4. This is for sure. I mean, not because I have more of this, but this is the only one I would drink in one sitting anyway. This is very, that flavor is very big. It's going to take over everything. But man, now that we're drinking this Jammy Boy, aka Jam the Radar, we're going to be discussing one of my favorite albums of my youth. The documentary by The Game. Jason Taylor, a.k.a. The Game, is an American rapper from Compton, California. Both his parents were Crips, but he grew up to be a Blood through his older brother. In the early 2000s, he started selling drugs and got more involved in gang activities. And while recovering in the hospital after being shot in late 2001, he asked his brother to get him as many classic hip-hop albums as possible. Over the next 5 months, he studied these albums, and with the help of his brother, they ended up starting a record label together. The label featured themselves, Glasses Malone, New Jersey Devil, and Vita. He got his name from the 1997 movie, The Game, which his grandma was a huge fan of. After fully recovering, he and his brother released their first mixtape, You Know What It Is, Volume 1, in 2002, and they were signed to Get Low Records. And that's records with a Z. The same mixtape eventually got into the hands of Diddy, who almost signed him. But in 2003, Dr. Dre listened to it and signed The Game to Aftermath Entertainment. Later that year, Jimmy Iovine and Dre decided to have Game work with and join G-Unit to help build his own popularity. But they also thought he would have been a great addition and, like, could only make G-Unit better than they already were. And they were very popular, obviously. Which brings us to this album, The Documentary. It is his commercial debut album, and it was released on January 18th, 2005. So its birthday is coming up, too. The singles for this album are West Side Story, How We Do, Hate It or Love It, Higher, Dreams, and Put You on the Game. The album sold over 82,000 copies in the first 3 months. And of course, we cannot talk about this album without bringing up 50 Cent. He wrote 6 of 18 hooks and is featured on 3 of the songs. My dog's causing a scene again. 50 Cent said in an interview with Vibe magazine that the album and the game were almost dropped from the label while the album was being produced. They almost just shut the whole project down completely. The game, of course, says none of that is true, and his status on the label was never uncertain. Of course, the game was kicked out of G-Unit a while after this album was released, and the beef led to some great diss tracks. I'm not going to get into those here, because that's a discussion for a different episode. Let's read some Metacritic reviews, because we love that. Let's scroll up here. All right, the average Metascore from critics is 72 out of 100, which is pretty average. User score is 8.7 out of 10. Not bad. The critic reviews, there's 13 positive ones, 16 mixed. For users, there's 41 positive ones, 2 mixed, 2 negatives. Let's see. For critics, Spin gave it an 83, saying almost lives up to the hype. Oof. Pitchfork gave it 83, saying the end result is a rich, triumphant sonic tapestry. You can hear every dollar that went into it. E Online said amazingly solid, 83. Let's see. Let's look at some of these mid ones. The AV Club says, lots of great rappers draw inspiration from hip-hop classics, but the game seems to be equally influenced by an almost obsessive-compulsive need to rattle off classic album titles, which we will talk about. Holy crap, that guy had a lot to say. I'm not going to look at that. Let's look at some user ones. So one guy gave it a 2 out of 10, saying, except for the one line about Mariah's forehead, this CD is beyond terrible. These new rappers need to realize that it's not enough to be street smart. You have to be smart in general. Another portrait by a dumb thug. Wow. That guy was pissed. There's some good ones. Amazing CD. I love it from Rick M. The Kid says, this album is banging, the best ever. G-Unit game is better than the whole G-Unit. Jesus Christ, I know what year that was written. So somebody gave it a 6 out of 10, saying, pros, Hate It or Love It is awesome. Cons, How We Do is too generic. Overview, just a dime from being... Sorry, they typed weird. Just a dime from being good. This album, though not excellent, will satisfy 50 Cent fans. So they got... People feel all over the place about it, and obviously at 82,000 records in 3 months, which again, I'm not hating, but obviously we've heard about people doing a lot better. So there is that. This album is 18 songs long. Tracks are Intro to the Documentary, West Side Story, Dreams, Hate It or Love It, Higher, How We Do, Don't Need Your Love, Church for Thugs, Put You on the Game, Start from Scratch, The Documentary, Running, No More Fun, No More Fun in Games, We Ain't, Where I'm From, Special, Don't Worry, and Like Father, Like Son. Whew, that's a lot of tracks. I believe that brings us to... Oh man, they didn't put the length of this album up here. Oh, here we go. An hour and 9 minutes and 57 seconds. Just short of 70 minutes long. Here we go. Let's start with track number one. Cheers again. Intro to the Documentary. It's a simple intro. It's a, you know, there's a beat going on in the background, and a dude's talking about playing the game to, quote, or playing the game to change your, quote, quality of living and knowing how to play the game. Obviously, I wish I knew where that speech was from. I was trying to find it everywhere. Maybe I'm just tripping. The sample in the intro is a sample of Down Into the Magic performed by Hanson. But I don't know where the speech is from. Man. But obviously, like I was saying, with rap, you know, the game can mean a whole lot of things. It can mean the drug game, rap game, you know, anything in general. So I do like that his idea of, like, taking that name, obviously from the movie that his grandma liked, but it also applies very well to the, like, a rap lyricist arsenal. So that's really fun to play with. I really like, this is one of the reasons why I love hip hop, is because the wordplay and the way they use words for different things. It's great. Helps us, the youth, if you will, come up with words that I am now too old to understand and I need to look up. Moving on to track number 2, West Side Story. Fucking banger. West Coast as fuck beat. I put red dots on his head like Rodman is one of the dopest lines. But I think I get where people are coming from when they're saying that because he does do this a lot through the entire album, is he starts referencing classic rappers, their songs, their albums, people in certain points in history and things that happened. And it's almost like I think they feel like he's stuck there, but you also have to remember, like, maybe he was kind of, like, stuck there mentally, too, after the shooting that put him in the hospital for a minute, you know? And, like, I don't know. It could be a psychological thing. I'm not sure, but I love that line. Also, I should have said this at the beginning of the episode. Obviously, in rap, you know, especially West Coast rap, the game, they use the N-word a lot. I will not be using that. I'm going to be replacing that word with, like, homie, brother, something. But I am not dropping the N-word. 63 Impala on D's. Love it. The line that got my LA Dodger fitted on in New York. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, just because I'm a Dodger fan, I wear my Dodger hat everywhere I go. Unless, you know, it's football season like it is now. But yeah, I love it. I don't know. Just, it made me smile. The Friday reference, I ain't got to tuck in my chain like DJ Pooh. Debo when he was Zeus, that was dope. One of my favorite lines is, play Bishop, I paint that picture, now who got the juice? Oh man, I love asking people if they understand that line, because it's such a, again, such a specific reference. But if you get it, you appreciate it so much more. If you haven't seen Juice, go watch it. You get to see Tupac get all kinds of crazy in that movie. But again, West Side Story is a fucking banger. I dig it so much. Moving on to Dreams. Aftermath presents Brother with an Attitude Volume 1. So that was supposed to be the original name for this album. Instead of the documentary, it was supposed to be a reference to NWA. And let's see, I know it's right here somewhere. I have it written down. Well, suddenly I can't find where I found this story, which is highly upsetting. But it is what it is. So that was supposed to be the name of it. But Eazy-E's estate, they said no. They didn't want NWA's name being used, I guess. I'm not sure what the exact thing was, but they said, no, we're not going to be allowing this. Like, you know, it is what it is. So we got the documentary instead. But I really did. I did like the way in Dreams, back to the song, the way he raps on this song. This was produced by Kanye, by the way. But, like, when he's like, he uses lines like, working with Dr. Dre was a, and you hear from the beat go, dream. Like, I really like that. Like, I thought that was really cool when I was, when I heard this for the first time and I like listened to this album. I really dig when rappers do that in general. They use like the sample, like to finish their lyric, or, you know, it, it just, I think it's very creative and fun, especially because, you know, they had to write around that, or they had to, you know, move with this beat to make it work out and have their producer insert that, that word or that line to finish their rhyme. the line, anything is possible if 50 fuck Vivica. I love it. It's just the amount of shit talking in this album is incredible. And I appreciate it very much. And one of my favorite lines on this is, don't sleep on me, homie, I bring nightmares to reality. Like, ooh. That's one of those lines, again, that, like, it's so old school, but it has a special attitude with the way the game delivers his lines, and I really dig that. And I do think, because he studied so much of those classic albums, it wasn't just West Coast. You know, he was listening to Biggie, he was listening to Nas, and all those other, and a lot of other East Coast dudes that, like, I think he has a very good ability to adjust to a lot of different styles of beats and different people he's rapping with. Not to say he hasn't made a bad song or a song that I don't really vibe with, because he definitely has. It's just, I think they started this album very well with West Side Story and Dreams. And when he continues it onto the next song with Hate It or Love It, it's a goddamn slapper. Different day, same shit, and nothing good in the hood. I run away from this bitch and never come back if I could. Oh my god. 50 Cent going off. Oh man, I think this song and the other one, when I get to it, are like incredible examples of how dominant 50 Cent and the game could have been if they didn't start the beef. And I understand, like, the beef kind of brought more attention to both of them because people love the drama, but, like, man, they knew how to play off each other so well in songs, and they knew how to, like, write and compliment what the other was saying. And I'll get to more of that later in the song that really brings it out for me, but I always have that what if they actually continued to work together longer and didn't start the beef and, you know, all that shit. But also in the hook, go ahead, envy me, I'm Rap's MVP and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Man, I remember the first time I heard that, I almost fell off my bike. That was incredible. Like, what? What? Like, again, this is some dude, little to no hype coming in, aside from the people who work in the industry and knew he was coming up, or you listen to his mixtapes. This is one of my favorite brags of all time. Because, again, commercial debut album, he is extremely blessed to be working with, you know, Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, G-Unit, all these people saw, like, his potential, and so they obviously worked with him. But, and obviously, I mean, I think he was a great fit for them at the time. But that brag, like, I'm Rap's MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me. Oh, that's one of, like, the best brags that isn't, like, a straight up come fight me about it or something. Like, I just think it was really cool. And then I dig Game's kill a brother on my song, but really do it, that's the true meaning of a ghostwriter. Oh, again, it's those metaphors and that wordplay. It's the reason why, like, I will always come back to hip hop. Like, I won't listen for a bit and then I'll come back and, like, remember, you know, just, or not even remember, like, remind myself why I dig so many of the songs that I do. And it's stuff like that. Like, that's such a cool line. And then Again, another reference to a legend. He writes, Pac is gone and Brenda's still throwing babies in the garbage. Like, you either know that song and you think that's a great reference, or you think he's talking about, like, somebody completely random. I mean, you know who Tupac is. It's kind of hard to not know who Tupac is, but, like, you could not know who Brenda is and miss that line completely. But so I think it is really, he kind of wrote this for the classic hip hop lovers. And I think maybe that's why I really dig a lot of these songs, because they just, they speak to my soul. But moving on to Higher, I remember when I got, when I listened to this song for the first time, I was kind of like, okay, this has a completely different feel from, you know, all the other songs. All the other songs, too. I think a lot of these songs do have a lot of different feels. Like, the beats are off, or, like, not off, but, like, it doesn't sound like it's the same album the whole time. The first time you listen to it, anyway. But when he says, hip-hop's worst nightmare, Mr. Gangster Rap is back in Black Nike Airs. You want war? We can settle it right here. I was just like, oh, man, again, it's so... The flow is nice. The way it's delivered is, ooh. He's like, wake up, the West Coast is back. And then one of the highlights for this, it's not like, it doesn't make the song great or anything. It just made me laugh. But when he's like, he says something about Snoop, and you hear like a Snoop, I don't know if it actually, it might be, actually be Snoop, but you hear West Side, like. it's such a trip and random, and I think Snoop would do it just because he can do what he wants. But I love that, like, that's his only, I think it's his only feature on this album, is just that, like, quick West Side, and that's it. And then here it is, the Mariah Carey line. Mariah got a forehead just like Tyra. I mean, I'm sure, you know, this line offended a lot of people. I just thought it was fucking funny. And I love Mariah Carey. Like, she's one of my favorite crazy people. I like her music. It made me laugh. And then, the Dr. Dre, look out for detox. My dude, we've been waiting. We've been looking out. The lookout died, or the lookout had kids, died, and now their kids are looking out. Jesus Christ. Help. And then we come to arguably the most streamed song on this album, How We Do. Another slapper. I love that, like, fresh like Impala. It's the game doing a slightly different style of rapping to, like, fit this beat that's a little slower. You know, he's got that adjustment. And then hi-hee, I'll start some shit too if someone stepped on my white Air Force Ones, because do not fuck up my shoes. Like, if somebody's gonna fuck up my shoes, it's gonna be me. 50 Cent with the Lambo doors on the Escalade. This bougie ass bitches, you can kiss my ass. And I do think, like, this song is one of those, like, it could have gone on either one of their albums, because they share an equal amount of mic time. You can make an argument it's a 50 Cent song because 50 Cent's on the hook, and it's just so smooth. Like, the way he delivers the, this is how we do. Like, he is, again, 50 Cent's got a special delivery of his own that, like, you know, he can rap kind of fast, kind of aggressive, or he can be real smooth like that. And I really dig what he did on this, this hook. And here's the song that I was thinking of. That's a good example of how 50 and Game could have, like, ruled rap for longer than they did. If you, like, actually pay attention, and again, this is the reason why this is one of my favorite songs on this album, and it is for most people, and I don't know how many people notice this, but it starts with, you know, like I said, Game's like, fresh like, Impala, and then when it goes to 50, it's like, 50, Bentley, like, they do each other's style the way it started, but it flips on the backside, and I was like, holy crap, that's actually really cool. And they even do it, at the end part where they're like switching and giving the mic back and forth to each other, like 50 Cent raps, passes it to Game, Game raps, passes it to 50, and it just, I really dig that. I was like, damn, dude, that was some dope shit. And you have to have, I think, I mean, I'm sure, you know, anybody can do it, but it's hard to make it sound as good as it did here. And I think that's fucking dope, and I appreciate that. Next up, we have Don't Need Your Love. The line, put the gun in his mouth, he gonna bite the steel. This has that hate in a hook that I really dig. This is one of them aggressive songs. What's the other one? The other line, he's like, them brothers breathing the same air, like acting like they don't bleed. Like, oh man, it just roam through the city like the ghost of E. Gotta put Compton on my back where it's supposed to be. Like, oh man, these are some like NWA style things, like fuck the police or Straight Outta Compton or stuff like that, where they're a little more aggressive and like they're a little more in your face and like real proud of where they're from, and you know, you can come for me but I'm coming for you kind of shit too. Like I dig the vibe. I didn't really listen to this one as much just because it wasn't one of the popular ones, and I don't know, but I have grown to appreciate it a little more as I've gotten older. I don't listen to this album enough though. And on to the next song is Church for Thugs, Just Blaze. When he says, hater, you know who you are, you can turn it down, fuck it. And it actually turns down in the song. I used to think that was so dope, and now I just find it kind of annoying because, like, damn, dude, I'm missing three lyrics because you guys thought it was cool to turn the song down when he says that. But I mean, it's all right. It's a very dated thing, I think. Like, you know, that it was a cool thing they did, or they thought it was cool, and I did too at the time. But now I'm kind of whatever about it. And then the other song I like, as a handlebars, you ain't gotta ride a bike. Like, oh my god, again. I'm gonna sound like a broken record, but why I love hip hop is lines like that. Like, what influenced this man? Like, what are you doing to come up with some of these things? Like, that's such a good line. And it, I mean, it's on a song too. It's on Church for Thugs. Like, if I tell somebody, hey, you like the game? You like the documentary? Put on Church for Thugs. They're gonna look at me like, why? It's one of those songs that, again, isn't as popular, but I really liked it in my youth. I still like it now. But yeah, that line just, whew. And now we're on to Put You on the Game. Electrocompulsive Therapy, Part 1. Dun, 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 dun. I think that beat is very 2000s. And not in a bad way. It takes me back. It makes me feel like a youth again. I do like the reference to, I got Dre in the back riding on 22s. Bitches screaming, let me ride. It must be the shoes. I don't know. I really like the Chronic, so that reference made me happy. And then my unit is Gorilla. Fuck with my La Familia, I will kill ya. Like, what? It's so crazy, and I love it. But I don't think this song was as popular as the other singles. It might have been one of the less popular ones, just because, you know, people wanted to hear Hater to Love It, West Side Story, How We Do was playing on everywhere. Like, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, Power 106 was playing, you know, West Side Story, How We Do, Hate It or Love It. But I'm pretty sure, like, all the other, the pop stations or whatever, that they play a mix of everything, they were only doing How We Do. So, and I mean, you know, if that's going to be the single that you're going to sell your album on, I'm not blaming them. So, that was cool. We're moving on to Start From Scratch. Ah, yes. The drunk song. At first, he's going back in time to save, like, musical heroes and friends, which I think is very... It's a very cool idea. It's an idea that I think a lot of people don't... Like, if somebody just asks you, not, like, in music, like, music relations, like, hey, you know, if you can go back and do something and change something, what would you change? And, you know... They have the option to change their life. A lot of people would change their lives. And I thought it was kind of cool that, like, he was like, no, I'm going to, like, tell Easy about this, tell Pac about this, tell Big about this. Like, he's going and telling all these, like, these people that he's, you know, he's grown to appreciate and look up to that aren't around, or maybe they're in jail. Like, I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but, like, I think that's a really cool concept of, like, let me try and save my heroes. And then later on, of course, he talks about himself. But I do like the, I got a confession to make. It's called Payback. Whew. I love that. I love that line. But I will say, I think Start From Scratch is, it's harder to listen to because he is like, if I could start from scratch, I wouldn't change. Like, he's, I don't know if he's acting or if it's fake. Like, maybe he's pretending to be drunk and rapping like that. Or, like, maybe he was actually drunk when he recorded this. Like, I don't know the story. I wasn't there, obviously. I think if you can, like, kind of get past the, like, the whole he's drunk in the studio and, like, doing the song. I think the song itself is actually a pretty cool concept. And now we move on to the documentary. The title track of this album... the intro always makes me laugh. The kid yelling at the lady, and I'm assuming it's a liquor store or a bodega if you're from the East Coast. The line, if you cross my T, I'll dot your I's. You do life in a cemetery, I'll do mine with shine. Ooh. Filthy. And I do like Game clearing up his line, that people thought it was about Jay-Z and West Side Story, and he was like, no, it's about Ja Rule. Like, like, no, it's still aggressive, but it's not at the person you think it is. It's Ja Rule, it's not Jay-Z. But apparently Jay-Z was real mad about it, and, you know, it is what it is. It don't matter anymore. The next song is Runnin'. Tony Yayo is an interesting choice for this one. I don't know if you guys listen to Tony Yayo. I don't know if, how many people, I mean, if you do, great, man. I do dig some of his songs. I just don't listen to him a lot. He's not on my, like, you know, repeat artists. I don't know how I feel about, like, the way he raps next to the way Game raps on this one. And maybe that's Game's fault. You know, maybe Game didn't do anything to, like, adjust to Tony Yayo's style. Or, you know, he didn't do it for the game. Whatever, it is what it is. The lines that made me laugh were, I know I got more sins than two lesbians. And then I really liked the Nas reference about the dude with the Iverson jersey. But, I don't know, overall, meh, this song was fine. Up next, No More Fun and Games. This has, and I mean, they make it obvious, this has big gangsta vibes, like straight up NWA. The beat is funky. Obviously, he samples gangsta on there. Like, I thought that it's a very much a throwback track. Again, huge vibe change. Like, this does not feel like anything else on the album. I look down on hoes and I look up to Dre. God damn it. And then I'm ruthless. I ain't talking about the label. That's just a good shout out to early NWA. I dig it. The song's kind of fun, but no real, like, super dope lines in that I really liked. Next up, We Ain't. I wrote, not the NWA reference. In the very beginning with the, you're about to witness the strength of street knowledge. But this beat is definitely an Eminem beat. And honestly, Eminem is the highlight of this song. And I think Game even says, like, Dre call an ambulance, M killed me on my own track. Like, he's so good. He delivers. He just drops a verse and gets the hell out of there. But, like, man, Eminem's the highlight of that. If you don't have, like, a feel for the game or whatever, you could care less, but you're a big Eminem fan, check this song out. You fucking dig it. It's very, it feels like it was cut from the Marshall Mathers LP. Like, it's a very, very that vibe. Like, I had a lot of fun with that one. Next up is Where I'm From. It's a Crip Walking beat. I always used to really like this one. Just that, like, it's straight up that it's that Crip Walking beat, but it's also a very, it's a West Coast, like, with that clean guitar, like, I don't know, something about it. It's a very chill vibe if you just listen to that beat. Nate Dogg on the hook is dope as fuck. I don't know. This song is really good. I enjoyed it. It's kind of short, but also I think it's not, like, too short. It just feels too short. It feels just right. Like, I this is one of those songs that I wouldn't change anything for. I dig it a lot. I love when it comes up. I never skip this song. Next up is Special, aka Ye Old Playa Song. Honestly, I'm whatever about this song. I don't have that many notes for it. I literally wrote I'm eh about this song, to be honest, because I don't know. It's fine, I guess. It's for somebody, but I skip it. Yeah, it happens. Next up, Don't Worry, Mary J. Blige. And then I wrote, oh girl, waiting on her dude to get out of jail. I don't know. And again, kind of about this one. I'm sad I am, because I really do like Mary J., but, like, I don't know. I've never been to jail. I never had a girl wait for me to get out of jail. Maybe that's why. It is what it is. And now we are finally at the last song, Like Father, Like Son. Song about the day his kid was born. That's kind of cool. I mean, that's dope. You could, you know, show your son, like, hey, I remember, like, everything about the day you were born, and, like, I wrote a song about it, and it's now immortalized on this album. And I got Busta Rhymes on it, you know, like, I'm thinking I don't really vibe with this one because I don't have a kid, but it's alright. And, like, I do think it's better than the last two songs that I just covered. I do, when he says, when he describes the kid that he looks just like him, he's like, nose, ears, eyes, chin, just like your daddy. I'll die before you grow up to be anything just like your daddy. Like, I really like that line. I think, I don't know. I think most people don't want their kids to grow up to be just like them. Like, they want them to be better, obviously. But, like, especially for the game, where, like, his life is obviously, since he's a celebrity and he raps about it, he's been very, like, open about his life. And so, you know, people know he grew up in a cemetery, or Jesus Christ, not a cemetery. He grew up in a foster home, and, like, he's had friends die. He's been shot. You know, he struggled, and, like, you never want that for your kids, obviously. So I thought that was a really cool line for him to drop into there and kind of work it into the song. But yeah, that's the album. All 18 songs. If I need to rate this out of 5 rap references to the OGs, man, I think I'm going to give it a 3.75. I do really like this album. And if you asked me when I was in, you know, in my youth, how much what I would rate this, I would probably give it like 4.5, maybe 4.75. But obviously, I get older, start listening to stuff a little more, I start like, oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't really dig this song or something. Yeah, 3.75 out of 5. It's a very solid album. I dig it a lot. Obviously, there's so many songs on here that I really do like, and they're on playlists for me because, like, I don't know, man. They tickle my brain. But it is not perfect. And I don't know. It is missing something for me. Don't know what it is. I would know if it were there, though. But yeah, 3.75 out of 5. Check it out, man. Or if you haven't listened to it in a while, go listen to the whole thing again. You might find things you appreciate that you completely forgot about. Or maybe you don't know all these songs. But yeah, I think it's totally worth checking out. Let me know what you guys think. We are at the end of this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for joining me on my birthday. It is January 5th. Woo! Yeah, man. I hope you were able to crack a cold one open with me, or maybe even if it's not the 5th anymore. Whenever you hear this, crack a cold one and listen to this. Follow this podcast on Instagram at Hops and Notes Pod. Follow me on Instagram at Untapped and Blue Sky at Wrathchild714. Follow the podcast network at Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORRORBLE People's Network on Instagram. And listen to all the fun shows we got there. I actually just got news about a new show coming. I will not give details because I'm not allowed to. But it actually sounds really dope, and keep your eyes peeled for that. Until next time, throw some D's on the 6-4 Impala, hit the switch, fucking go lowriding. Have a good time, y'all. Thank you. Peace.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to Horrible People's Network on Instagram. That's HORROR. People's Network on Instagram.